money man. Money man. What? Hey. Make some noise. Ladies and gentlemen, from LA to New York, Chicago, to Mississippi, let's give it up for America's number one funny man, Rodney. What an idiot. What's up, party people? My name is Rodney Perry. You're tuned in to Rodney Perry Live, and we are in full effect today. This is my 200th episode today. Wow. When I started doing this podcast 200 episodes ago, who knew we'd still be going, still be putting up shows and shoot every day. And I got my folks here, man. I can't wait to chop it up with my guys today. Everybody know I love having women on the show. But ain't nothing like having my guys on the show. And we get to rock out. We get to talk about some man shit. And I wanted to start the show off today. And I look at myself in this monitor. This gray hair is disrespectful, man. It is disrespectful, man. Goodness gracious. You can't get it to do nothing. You can't line it up. Because, first of all, I'm convinced that your barber can't cut gray hair unless he got gray hair. I don't know if that's true. But so what? Victor Marshall, 200 episodes. Congrats, Rodney. What a milestone. Riri is in the building. Appreciate you. Happy 200. Man, love, man, respect. All right, man. One of my oldest and dearest friends, we go back to being little boys playing Little League baseball together on the Chicago, Chicago White Sox. Rolls in Little League, man. Mr. Pippen, Jamal Pippen. You know, a lot of us were maybe coming from single parent households. He wasn't. But Mr. Pippen was a beacon of light for a lot of us, man. He's a comedian, he's a producer, he's a director, he's a writer, and just an all-around great guy. Welcome to the show, B. Cole. What's up, B?
What's up, RP? Hey congratulations, man. On your 200th episode, brother. Congratulations. Hey,
You know the work we put in over a career, man. And how about this, bro? We got pretty illustrious group of people that play Little League baseball with us.
Absolutely.
I mean, Schofield played.
Tony Schofield
played.
Even, we can't forget about our guy, man, superstar director Carl Seton right now.
Carl Seton was right there.
With us in the dugout.
In the dugout. How crazy is that, man? I remember all those faces, man. And your big brother and I was in school in the same grade, same classes together.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I used to run up behind you guys.
Yeah, man. Hey, dude. Hey, but you was always taller than me. you was a foot taller than me. You know, my nickname around the hood was Shorty. So,
yeah, you was my little big brother, man. That's what it was.
Yeah, man. Dude, man, I'm so happy for you. So proud of you, man. Producing, directing. Like, why did you lean into that space?
Oh, man, because, you know, some things just force you to go into certain paths, man, when you want to try to make things happen for your own. I think it took me to do several auditions for major studio films and, you know, not getting them and not getting them roles that auditioned for, it just led me into like, man, let me do my own thing, you know? And I think that kind of ended with, it's a funny story, because me and Deion Cole, we auditioned for Barbershop here in Chicago. And when we auditioned for Barbershop, we auditioned for the role that Anthony Anderson and Lamar Tate had when they stole the ATM machine.
So
that was me and Deion's, you know, audition, and we actually didn't get it, but they still placed us in a movie, but they placed us as like extras and one line characters. So I think after that, man, like, you know, prior to that, it was other auditions, but that was the one right there that like put the nail in the coffin for me.
If you booked that, that changed your life.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I went the independent route, man. And when it did my first film, I'm in Love with a Crackhead, which was a short film. And, you know, like I said, if you go back and look at that film, you'll see basically everybody who's doing things now in that movie. That was like Lil Rail's first movie, Deion Cole's first movie. You know, so my man Timon Durrett, if you all know Timon Durrett, we call him Tree, but he was in that movie. But yeah, man, even Cootie Simmons, who did the Kanye documentary. That was his first director's job. My movie, I'm in Love with a Crackhead, that was his first directing job.
Get out of here.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, like, we all come from that base, man. You know?
Yeah. And you know what I say about that area of Chicago? It wasn't wild then when we was growing up.
No.
Wild Hunters becomes wild. And matter of fact, we played Little League with another guy, KK, who coined that phrase.
Yes.
He the first person I heard say Wild Hundreds.
Yeah, he the one first put it on clothing, put it on a t-shirt, you know. But you know, the Wild Hundreds started where you, from the area you went to high school at, out there in Argyle Gardens. Went to college. That's where the Wild Hundreds migrated from and spread it throughout the whole entire Hundreds.
Wow. You know what? Them niggas was very wild. All right.
Oh, man. Go ahead.
All right, y'all. It's Roddy Bray. You're in Roddy Bray Live. My next guest, one of my good friends, man. He came by the house yesterday. We sat down and we chopped it up for a minute. Welcome to the show, entrepreneur and all around dope ass guy, Cole Parker, in the building. What's up, Cole? How you doing, bro? You on mute.
So, all right, I'm back. What's cracking, everybody?
Hey, man, Cole, man, first of all, thank you always for coming on to the show, man. 200 episodes. What's your thoughts as you reflect on it? Because you've been coming on the show since day one.
Right. I might have been on the first one. But 200 episodes, Rodney, first of all, man, nothing. One thing that we all equate to success is consistency, right? So getting to your 200th episode shows that you have been that, and just it's time for rewards to come, right? Because now you've done the work. So, you know, I'm glad to be part of it. Fuck, I was talking to you yesterday. I didn't know it was 200th episode to just now. Okay, I mean, it ain't like you mentioned it.
I mean, we talk about other shit. We just talk about all kind of other shit.
We talk about all kind of other shit, right? But you know, I'm glad to be a part of it, man. It's always a pleasure enjoying some time with friends and meeting new friends, you know, and just look forward to how we gonna operate today. We're gonna have a good time.
We are definitely gonna have a good time. Uh-oh, stop right there. Okay. Let me get my guy in here, man. I met this guy on the road. Bowen Hampton introduced me to this guy, man. And when you talk about funny, because this nigga I'm about to bring on the screen right now is a funny ass dude, man. I don't know if you know him or not, ladies and gentlemen, if I'm introducing you to him, but his name is Tim Shropshire. Hey, Shrop, welcome to the show, man.
What up? Fellas, what's good?
A unique distinction. So Shrop and I played football for the same head coach. Shrop played for him in college, where he did not win a game for like your whole career.
Come on, bro. I still, you're an AT guy through and through. I gotta be, because we when you getting beat up that bad for 4 years.
Hey, Shrop, what was it like, man? I mean, I mean, y'all wasn't trying to lose.
We weren't trying to lose. Look, I'm still dealing with it now, brother. So it was rough. I see my therapist every week just from college, bro.
But you know what? When you go through something like that, ain't nothing in life that can beat you after you've been through that for 4 or 5 years.
Man, I'm telling you, you gotta get your confidence back though, for real though. I got wife and kids. I gotta make sure I ain't no loser, you know. that was real though, bro.
Hey, also join us today. This young man, I had the pleasure of meeting him on the road in Raleigh during where he came, and he featured for me, and just a all around dope ass guy. Mr. RC Moose is in the building. What's up, RC?
What's up, bro? Man, I heard Tim Sharp. I thought that was my intro. I was like, oh shit, he talking me up, bro.
No, not at all. Hey, but you always a solid dude, a very funny guy. Mr. Josh Hyman, aka RC Musa, is in the building. So let's get into the show, guys. Let me shout out my guy. He just popped in. I told him it was a 200 episode. He's probably been on more episodes than most. Mr. Hollywood Hop. What's up, Hop Good?
What's going on, man?
Well, yo, what up,
Hop? How are you?
What's up with it?
I got some videos I want to throw at y'all today. First of all, I got issues with what I call hoe ass dudes.
There you go.
Tenderness.
I can't stand it. If you display even the slightest bit of hoeism, and y'all tell me if I'm way off base, first of all, because if I'm way not off base, just
can you use it in a sentence?
All right, here we go. This dude, man. And Cole and I have debated this subject before, but I'm gonna let y'all watch the video. Here we go.
I got 7 kids and 7 baby mamas. Now, for the past few days, I've been going live, telling my story, speaking my truth. And a lot of women having an issue calling me a deadbeat because I tell them I was being irresponsible, yeah, not wearing protection. But I always tell these women that I got pregnant that I do not want to be a father to these children. And I offer to pay for the abortion. Majority of times, they'll either take the abortion or they'll take a plan B. But only these 7 have kept these children. But the crazy thing about it is they want me to be responsible for some children I told them I did not want. So for some years now, some of them been trying to get in contact with me. Access denied. Because I don't really know why you're trying to get in contact with me. I didn't told you I did not want them kids. So don't expect me to be responsible financially, emotional, spiritually, mentally, or physically with some kids I do not want. And I don't give a f-
All right. I mean, most of us on the panel are fathers. And Cole, you had a unique perspective. She's like, you know, he let them know. What's your thoughts, man, as you unpack this?
Well, So I don't know if one part that we need to add to this, Tennessee has now implemented a new rule. Well, it's supposed to be fully going into law that you have to pass a DNA test before you're obligated to pay child support or before your name is on a birth certificate, right?
Really?
So in some, yes, they said 1/3 of the fathers or something like a quarter of the fathers out there, they really want the fathers of the children they were paying child support for. Some stupid
and
shit. Like
a lot of times, courts ago, if you've been paying, you might as well keep paying, you know, and they continue to pay.
They tell you, right? Doesn't matter once you decide it, right? So, but we talked about it, and I said, you know, I feel that that was what he said in the beginning, then that's understood, right? Not saying that if I as a father of 5, I'm not the type of dude to not take care of my kids. Okay.
Right.
But I do also understand how he feels, especially as a father. And my first 2 was kind of like, what the hell you mean you pregnant? You know, I understood it, you know, and my oldest son, hell, his mama was a one night stand, went awry, you know, so.
Definitely went awry.
There's certain things that I am compassionate to how he feels. But on the other hand, I would never fucking say that. I mean, if the responsibility is there, you got to.
Right.
Hey, B. Cole. B. Cole, man.
Yeah.
To me, when I look at this guy, in my mind, I'm going, okay, I get the fact that he's telling the women that whatever. But semen works, nigga.
Without a doubt.
Semen, you put it in the vagina, something can happen. So by virtue
of it's a lot of options.
You only have some responsibility. Go ahead.
Yeah, but first of all, we gotta, you know, let it be known that it's not the children's fault for being in this world. So you gotta take on responsibility regardless if you wanted it or not. Now, telling a woman in the beginning, that's telling it, but these days, man, you gotta get stuff in writing now. It gotta be a contractual agreement these days. You know, if you're gonna have that type of situation, possibly maybe you need to get it in black and white. And one thing we need to teach our young men now is that, man, you know, semen retention. You know what I'm saying? That produces life.
Break that down. Semen retention. What is semen that?
Brother, that's withholding your semen and not out here spreading it around, because that's a source of energy that creates life. You know what I'm saying? You don't know the type of energy that you're releasing out of your body. That, you know, even if guys masturbate, you're releasing a lot of energy. You can withhold your powers within yourself if you just hold in that semen that's so powerful that it can create a whole human being. You know, but we need to pass that down to our young men and let them know, you know, like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because yeah, I've been getting down since I was a teenager, but now in my older years, man, I've learned. And it's like, I wish I had known this knowledge when I was younger, you know, but like this is the wisdom that you receive from your life experiences, and you got to pass on down to the next generation, man. You know,
well, I'm a lifetime spreader. I spread energy everywhere I used to go.
Wait. So wait.
Yeah, all my powers is all over the world.
Hey, how about this?
You're everywhere.
Hey, hold on, guys. I think this, because you said that, B. Cole, now that I'm thinking about it, I think we have a finite number of shots. Like, I think, like, you probably think you got unlimited shots, but nigga might only have 3,000 shots. Shot them motherfuckers out in our movies. You know what I'm saying?
As my mom told me when I was younger, me and my brothers, like, yo, don't abuse the sexual acts, man, because for one, it makes you old, it makes you tired, it makes you weak. And I didn't understand that as a young man, but as I get older now, stuff like that, when I've been having like women over the past years just been wanting to, you know, continue on, and I gotta turn them down, like, man, I ain't got that type of energy, you know. Remember the movie Harlem Nights when Richard Pryor was in bed with the lady, his woman, and she's like, let's go all night. He's like, yo, let's just go 5 minutes and sleep real deep, tight, coma sleep. Now I get it, you know, because back then when I was watching Harlem Nights, like, man, I'll be tearing that up all night. What Rich talking about? You know, but Rich said, let's go 5 minutes and go to sleep, you know.
That was that cocaine talk.
It's just like 70.
How about that?
Right.
Shrop, when you see a guy like this, man, the young man saying he got 7 kids, 7 baby mamas, only those 7 were successful pregnancies. I mean, what's your thoughts, Shrop?
I go back to what you first said, man. We all fathers, man. So it kind of hurt a little bit. I was upset with Buddy. I'm like, come on, dude. You know, own up to your kids. But I'm like, bro, on baby mama number 3, that should have clicked. You know what I'm saying? But I think the biggest thing for me, I hope this is content. I hope this is one of them videos he wants this conversation right here, because, bro, I got a little heated, bro. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, come on, bro. He could have got an elbow to the chin with me, bro. Mm.
Hey, you know what? You know what, Hopgood, man? We looking at this guy. He says this stuff, but on the flip side of it, don't the women have some responsibility? And baby mama number 2 or 3, don't you got to go, this nigga is not going to hang around for this kid.
He's not shit. Right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, I'm like my guy. I felt a little bit as a person who has a mother, and who was deprived of being a father. Rodney, I told you my story. I felt a little bad. I really didn't like him. It's a two-way street in this. The women got to be responsible too, but because you can clearly see he's not going to do the right thing ever.
Wow. Wow. But Musa, let me put this on your plate, okay? Some of us are products of single parents for whatever reason. Maybe that dad did you a favor by not raising your ass. Like,
facts. My dad wasn't worth a damn, man. My dad was a drug addict, man. And I feel
so
like...
So if he raised you, you maybe not get to be the productive citizen you are now. Or did he raise you?
Well, it's nah, hell no, he didn't, man.
Hold on.
I know a lot of problems that I got in. You know, you might get that conversation. Like, I had caught a felony charge when I was young, man. And the judge that actually was representing me was like more of a father figure. And I had one of those moments where, like, if I would have got these discussions from my dad, I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in now. But at the same time, your dad can't give you what he ain't got. So, you know what I mean? At some point, us as men got to have empathy and forgiveness to understand, like, my dad, he just wasn't that guy, bro. I mean, it inspires me to be more of a father to my kids, but Pops wasn't, I'm not glad he wasn't there. I wish he would have been, what wish he had the tools that he needed to raise a proper man, bro.
Right. How about that? Hey, Hopgood, you were raised by your mother, but you a guy, you a man's man, right? And let me play this video before I ask this question, because this is crazy. Okay.
Coming of age. I didn't have a man in my life, a father in my life to guide me through that. My mom did that, which probably made me even ultra feminine, which is I have no shame of being super feminine. You know, I remember in the 90s, we don't have the support in the LGBT community like now than we did then. So growing up in the 90s, we're like, are you gay? Like, a lot of people question. If I was, because I was feminine. I'm still feminine. I sit the way I sit. I act the way I act. My mannerisms are my mom's. But it was a very, and I'm strong with my femininity. I think it's a superpower. But that, and when you know who you are, when you love who you are, how you are, how you vibe, that's what it's about. I like girls. Never was attracted to men. I'm attracted to females, but I'm feminine.
That is Will I Am. And every dude I've ever known has been feminine was also gay.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Right on the
floor. It took a long time to get dressed.
He like,
he blames the fact that he was a product of a single parent. I feel like I'm a product of a single parent. Hopgood, you're a product of a single parent. And we all men. Did we just get lucky? What's your thought?
Man, listen, I think I can speak for everybody's mom on this panel. Everybody's mom on this panel is probably gangster.
Facts.
My mama wasn't no damn
100%.
My mama stood 6'3" and hit me dead in my chest when I didn't act right. So it all depends on the kind of raising too.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, it's in you, bro. Because I remember being attracted to some of my mama friends. You know, your mama had that one friend to come over. You'd be like, oh, shorty.
Yeah.
Well, dang, like, even as a kid. We all did.
Yeah. So I'm like, it's in you, man.
Right.
But go ahead. Here's the thing.
Let me go.
Although I had both my parents in the house, my dad was always working. So he was gone 12 hours a day. My mom was home disciplining us. And you know what I'm saying? She put everything in us. My mom was a tough cookie too. And Rodney, if you remember that it was a time when, as you and my brother went to high school and the bullies used to chase y'all home. And one time chased y'all to my house. And my mom brought you and the bullies into the house and put y'all in the press circle. And to this day, them guys, if you remember Ricky Black, Ricky,
mm-hmm,
Rick?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It was Harold. I remember y'all was in the press circle in the front room of my house because they came to fight y'all.
I remember that vividly. Yeah.
Yeah, bro. And that's just how powerful my mom was with prayer. And my mom had eight kids. and all of us graduated high school. No one's ever been to jail, and having 8 kids on the south side of Chicago, you got to do what you got to do to make sure your kids on that right path. My mom was strong in that prayer, you know, and like I said, for her to do that with you guys, that was just a witness to everything. Like, wow, you know, mom got that straight up power to put people straight.
Shropshire, you see the man. Will I am saying, man, he always been a feminine dude. Do we as men have great for our peers that happen to be feminine? Do we even tolerate that on any level?
Shoot. Shrop trying to figure it out.
Look, I feel like this though, for real. When it comes to, I feel like it really is whatever is allowed in the home. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like whatever is accepted. You can have a single mother. You can have both parents. Basically, I feel like it's like what's allowed. So like my brother was saying, Hop was saying, it was like, no, if your parents see something, they're going to correct it. Hit you in the chest. Like, nah, uncross them legs. You know what I'm saying? But some parents, they get into it. They like, they see this trait. They see the tendencies. And they don't correct it. You know what I'm saying? They allow them to be who they are. Sometimes the sister feed into it. They go ahead and make them up, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. Let them walk with the high heels. If I saw one of my sons put my wife's shoes on, I'm like, bro, no, put my J's on, son. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like,
you gonna put them on.
But exactly. I feel like we're the ones that help navigate the kids. So you can have a single mother or both parents or whatever, but somebody won't navigate. You know what I'm saying? All these corrections.
Is that becoming harder, guys? Is that in itself becoming harder? Because we live in a world now where, like, we do have the LGBTQI+ community, and people are more acceptable to wear the heels. You know what I'm saying? RC Musa is more acceptable for as you raise a young man for him to become that. Is it harder to raise a young man now?
Absolutely. It's black and white for us.
I don't think
it's
harder to raise them, but I feel like we have more people speaking on how we should raise our kids. And they say what we should and cannot do. I'm like, nah, you ain't gonna tell me how to raise my child. And so
all right, go ahead, Musa.
Now I was just agreeing with what he was saying. I feel like it's black and white. It's either you support the LGBTQ and the movement or you don't. Like, we can't have that gray area where we just like, yo, whatever you want to be, that's your business. But I have no desire to learn your wording and your pronouns. Like, we just can't not play, which is crazy to me. As a black man, we should be able to be like, I don't want to know. Like, you making me read a book for a test that I'm never going to take. Like, I shouldn't have to know all your pronouns, bro. Huh?
I'm not taking a test.
But you got to.
This might get my whole show canceled at episode 200. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it right now, Cole. I think you cannot be friends with a gay dude.
I agree.
Because they still dudes, and they're going to try you. They're going to try to holler.
If you want a tour.
Wait a minute, brother. Hold on.
Bro, a lot of these dads you said we being real on this 200 episode show. I done had a lot of like content creators are gay, and they don't be wanting to work with you if you not on that feminine stuff that they on, bro. Like,
really? Hold on. Oh, Josh. Everybody freeze. Josh, you telling me that a social media content creator guy hit on you?
Facts. But let me say this, though. He ain't just come out and just hit on me, but it's like, if you a gay man and that's your brand, effeminate gay man, content creator, comedian, you're not going to bring a hyper masculine man on tour with you because he's throwing off the whole vibe of what your tour is. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to be accepting and you got to move how they move, or they just like, yo, you can't come. So a lot of opportunities in this world, unfortunately, a lot of men, masculine men, got to be like, bro, I can't even rock with you because ain't no middle ground for us. Ain't no middle ground. Like, you either rocking with it or you like, don't.
Do you have to act feminine to work with them? Like, do you like put on a feminine hat and be like, it's okay, guys?
I feel like they're gonna put that fishing line out. They never gonna come out and just be like, are you gay? But they're gonna put that fish, they're gonna feel you out. And once they see, like, yo, homie, I ain't really with they, I'm not willing to compromise you. Who I am to do this. They're gonna just be like, nah. I'm good.
Wow.
I'm taking you off the tour, but I done had a lot of phone calls. You know, that phone stopped ringing once they see that you ain't moving like they want you to move.
Right, right.
I mean,
but that's similar. Yeah. Go ahead, Rodney.
No, go ahead, B.
I'm saying, like, because that goes for all categories in every circle, not with just gays. Like, I've been left off many tours because it was the time in the early 90s I didn't smoke weed. I didn't smoke weed, didn't do any drugs, so they kept me off tours because they didn't want me to be around that circle if I didn't do them things. So it's like whatever you're not accustomed to or doing with the circle, you're not going to be included. And you got to be okay with that, and that's cool. You don't have to be something that you're not to fit in.
Yeah.
So to even ask Nicole Parker, like, I wouldn't act feminine just to hang with feminine guys, you know what I'm saying? But I think men should know how to get in touch with their feminine side. You know, that's what made Tupac so great, you know? From a hardcore street hip-hop hardcore rapper, but he always pulled the lady from his feminine side.
Yeah,
Thug right. Life and Big Mama came out of the same guy. Andromeda says, I don't understand how crossing your legs is gay. Many professional men cross their legs. I respect
no, I would not, that. That's probably what, from what I said. Cross your legs, I ain't say it's gay, but I said if we're talking about feminine tendencies, if we're talking about pruning our sons, our daughters, whatever, we're seeing something. So my basically all I'm just saying is if we see something, if it looks feminine, yes, guys can't cross their legs, but if he's crossing his legs because he see mama cross his legs and his sisters cross his legs, I'm going to correct it. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Right.
Exactly. Wow, well said. Hey, the men are in the building today. Hey guys, here goes one. I seen this story the other day. So the guy goes into a massage parlor to get a massage, and the young lady who gave him the massage attempts to give him a happy ending. No. Okay. Deshaun Watson definitely would have took this. So give him a massage, a happy ending, and he in turn goes and reports her and gets her fired.
Oh wow.
To me this is the ultimate in the whole shit. Like,
yeah.
You don't have to take the massage. You don't have to take the happy end if you want nobody touching you. That's more than fair. But to report it is the ultimate in whole shit. Am I tripping?
Yeah.
Or do we have these unwritten laws that's not cool? Be cold.
Well, I mean, the thing is with that, the snitching part is totally out of question. But at the same time, you don't have to receive the massage or the happy ending, like you said. But man, what man wouldn't really like that's an experience I want to come across my table one time that I've always heard about. It's been an urban legend to me, and I've never even witnessed it. When I sit on tables to get massage, I turn around and get them to look like, well, is there something else?
Well, you know, what else we doing?
I never got off of that. Like,
I got a pretty good tip for you. I got a pretty
good on top stuffing instead of potatoes.
I mean, there's a gratuity added on to the bill. You know how they throw a little gratuity on for it?
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah, you definitely gonna pay for that. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She might have already added. That's what she thought. That's what it was, because you already added the gratuity on them. He thought, oh, you paid for it already.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Here's another video. This was kind of whole shit to me, and I don't want Deontay Wilder to get upset with me, but when you give something, it's just that you can't do this. Here we go.
Don't ever forget when I found you, you were strung out on coke. When I found you, you was like a big house contemplating about killing yourself. So don't you ever forget who brought you to Big Time Box. I drugged you back. I brought you back. I provided food and put food on your table for your family to eat. And I'm doing it for the second time. So don't you ever forget that.
I've had people help me throughout my career. My buddy Joy Wells literally drove me everywhere I needed to go for probably 3 years. I didn't have a car, and we just went everywhere together. And he has never one time said, nigga, you owe me for that. And to anybody that call you on that, am I tripping, Shropshire, am I tripping? Is that kind of some whole shit to you?
Heck yeah, it is. He arrogant though. That's what he do. That's his style. That's just how he is.
That's just what he can.
Heck yeah, that's arrogant, bro. That's horrible, bro.
Hey, Cole Parker, man, you're in a fraternity. You got your brothers. People help you. You help people. Like, what's your thoughts on this whole idea?
You said it correct. Whole idea. That is some whole ass shit. You know what I'm saying? Because that, like, first of all, I'm also one that you should never give. You're gonna throw it in somebody's face, right? That tells the type of giver you are. So that whole thing tells more about how fucked up an individual he is than how fucked up an individual Tyson Fury was, right?
Well, so I mean, Tyson Fury gave him that ass whooping, didn't ask for it back.
Mm. Well, right. You ain't lying. Wow. That's probably why he's mad. Fucking right. clubbed his ass.
Shit.
But, you know, I just think that's unnecessary. Like, first of all, where are you getting all this hoe ass shit, Rodney? Like, we got video and story back to back with hoe ass niggas. Like, you got a hoe ass nigga handbook?
Why you looking up hoe ass shit?
Hey, it just popped on my feet. I was like, I'm talking to my guys today.
Yeah,
I really want to know if I was tripping, because maybe I'm tripping sometimes.
There's times you got to be careful who you let help you, because these people be waiting for the day, the opportunity to have that moment to throw it back in your face. And you can just do something simple as something minor that can trigger that for them. And they just been waiting on that. So you got to be careful, man. And I'm sure everybody on this panel at some time help someone in their career and help someone elevate to another level. But, like, you know, I'm not cut from that cloth to throw it back in no one's face. No one will ever know what I've done for somebody unless they acknowledge it.
Ain't nobody saying this, so I'm going to come out and say it.
Say it, Hopgood.
Motherfuckers just ain't built like us no more.
Mm. Mm. Real talk.
Motherfuckers do stuff for likes more than love.
Man, that's a testimony.
And that's the word, love.
You just dropped the ball.
I feel like Tyson Fury started some
passing. Like, Rodney always pick on me and say,
Cobb gonna say the woman's wonderful kid in the world. Look,
you say one more wonderful thing, I'm gonna slap shit out of you.
I did not say that.
But I think people like Rodney, we reinforce each other, so we remind what the fuck we supposed to be doing out here. And when we see shit that looks foreign and like Mandarin Chinese, it fucks with us. I know it fucks with me when I see somebody like, damn, how many times did you pee sitting down? I mean, you really are not no real motherfucker.
What that mean? What that mean? You can't pee sitting down? What if you're late?
No, you should.
I'm done.
You ain't never get up at 3 a.m. in the morning, walk to the bathroom, still sleep. Yeah. It's like, man, I'm the wall, bro.
I gotta leave
that wall. You're laying on the wall.
Yeah, let your mom.
I try to get me a double up on that. Okay, all right. How about this, guys? How valuable is the penis? How valuable is the vagina? More valuable than the penis?
No, man.
Parker says no.
Hell no.
They both compliment each other, brother. You know, that's like how I look at it.
This is like a chicken and an egg type question.
There it is, yin yang.
What's your take? Is the penis more valuable or the vagina more valuable? People monetize the vagina all the time. Do you ever monetize your penis?
Your penis already monetized by default. It's monetized by default, bro.
What you mean by that, Josh?
Because we men decide who actually get married. Like we women are basically raising themselves up to find a husband.
No. You're not answering the question. I'm saying this. Have you got money?
Right.
Have you got money for your penis or your work as a penis slinger?
Oh, no. Says yes. I ain't done dropped no dick off and got no cash for it now.
Not even.
You've been
got a trip to Africa, but that's about it.
That's big though. Africa's a big rich man. That's $1,000.
That's 10 right,
here goes another video, guys. Stay right there. Hold on.
Is how come women can be so quick to open their hands because they're fucking a man and they feel like the man is obligated to paying bills and doing shit for them and showing up for them financially, because they're fucking right. And they got to get grace for that. And it gets praised and all that. But as soon as a man, what if a man was to be like, bitch, I'm dropping good dick. I'm talking about good dick off. I'm giving out some. I'm talking about not no 87. We not giving you mid-grade. We only come in 93. Right? And when he dropping that dick off, why he can't spin a block and say, bitch, I'm running low on some funds. You think you can help me out because I'm fucking you? Huh? How come that rule don't apply for the guys? How come it only applies for...
Hey, yes, it does. She, first of all, I'm in love. I'm fucking in love with this girl.
Yeah, she should never pay taxes ever again. girl,
she's in Cole's car right now. Let me tell you something. Right. That girl's baby hair is fucking incredible. But is she making a good point? I mean, you know, women vagina all the time. What's your thoughts, Cole?
Fuck yes. Like, I had sugar mamas when I was in college. I was a semi-gigolo, you know. Right. But also, let me tell you, there's a negative connotation when it comes to men getting money from women, right? So if a man is getting money from women, sometimes your peers, your friends, those in your circle might be like, what type of hoe shit is that, right? They think that's hoish, that you are getting money from a woman. Well, I mean, if it's a partnership in any particular way, if anybody providing services, you should be paid for services rendered. That's how I feel.
I feel like services rendered where you didn't really want to do it. You know, you just smashing her for the sole purpose of income. Like a lot of homes, all y'all got to do who done mess with a big block or unattractive woman stole.
Hold on, put your hold on right there. Start right there. What the fuck is a big block?
You had a girl shaped like a little Lego block or something. You got to start a chick when you, because y'all got businesses and y'all successful men. So y'all know what it looked like to have, this is my level one woman. I'm telling you, she ain't a keeper. But when, I'm going to get on to something better. Everybody done been there and had a girl be like, when I go up, I'm going to elevate this situation as well. Yeah. I ain't never been that type of dude because I don't like dealing with unattractive women like that, bro. So I ain't never really.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
We're not even talking about unattractive. We're not
talking about that. Right. They ain't got to be ugly to get money.
Who's unattractive? You say you ain't never had an ex file.
Oh, yeah, I have. But I'm like, who's smashing?
Trying to make us look like we bad.
No, you're not hitting Halle Berry and she breaking the wild bread off. That nigga, you're getting said the most money from the cow. The big cow got the most milk. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, hold on. Fucking X file is hilarious. Go, you
guys. Like, I ain't fucking with no ugly bitches. I just happen to get cute bitches that give money too. But you know,
on average, Cole, the money is normally coming from the girl who can't get a man all the time. Am I lying though?
I don't know if the truth.
Some women are just giving spirit. Some women just give spirit.
Everybody freeze.
B. Cole, you up.
Yeah, I mean, the woman doesn't have to be unattractive to give money, like Musa was saying. But my thing is this, is that I've had women who would give me money without even the speech of this is what this money is for. But at the same time, you know what you're getting rewarded for. But at the same time, as a man, my morality of it all and stuff like that, I don't even feel right sometimes. It's just like, man, I feel guilty at it because I'm not attracted to this person. And I know that she rewards me after we do that, you know, and I don't want to use anyone for that. So it's kind of, you know, I look at it as an even trade. Like, yo, I'm giving you good penis, give me good vagina, and just leave it at that. You know?
Yeah.
My energy is worth money.
Let's say she's 275 and she ain't even picked up before. You pick up.
Okay.
You deserve a bag for that.
Oh, you definitely deserve two bags. Oh, but hold on.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying.
What if you like big girls? Some guys like big girls.
Even if you like big girls, she's 270 for, like, when you introduce her to some sexual position she didn't think was possible with her weight requirements, you deserve a bag for that. You deserve something. Lottery ticket or something.
You know, at least a massage. Damn.
Yeah. A lottery ticket. Hold on.
You know, every girl ain't got ice bag. Chick give you a black and mild or something. She ain't my handle brain.
Jesus.
Trump, tell me that Archie Moose is losing his damn mind.
What's your name? Nah, this is the man podcast today. We're going to be honest today.
Losing.
Hold on, go ahead, Shrop.
Nah, but I thought to answer the question though, man. I think women just built different though, bro. I think they just built different. You know what I'm saying? Like for whatever reason, they can have some good deep for whatever. They can go 2 months and just chill. If we get it one time, we knocking on your door. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's just different, man. Like they can be okay. And I know
that. We were talking about earlier, like the idea of being honest and telling a woman, look, this is what it is. Have you ever told a woman this is what it is, and then got a piece of that cootie cat? It was like, you know what? Let's rework this contract.
Man, yeah. We doing this grind as far as like just doing his work, trying to say, hey, I'm gonna stay up late, do this work. Let wifey say, I'm in the bed. Wait. Well, you ain't doing no more work. Ain't no more podcast.
Ain't no more podcast.
You would have been late today if she said something to you, right?
Hey, how about this? Years ago, I was working at Walmart. The girl worked in the jewelry department, right? And so we went over a fellow coworker's crib, and she let us use her crib to have a sexual thing, right?
Yeah.
So we're on the floor doing it, and I gave her the whole speech. So I told her, I say, look, you know, I mean, I'm not looking for nothing physical. I just want something physical right now. I'm not trying to be in no da da da. She's like, all right. But she knew something that I didn't know.
Yeah, she knew.
That the vagina was.
Yep. So let me ask you, would you open her right now?
Hold on. Stop right there. I'm good. So we did our thing, and my whole tune changed. I was like, look, I really think we should go forward with this thing. She was like, no.
Hey, and she was good, though. She was good, right?
She threw my words in my face. You said this, that. And I was like, wow.
Messed you up. Yeah,
and for the record, yeah, for my own pedigree, she did let me hit for like two more times, but.
That's all you can hope for, man.
She wouldn't let it become nothing else.
Once you tell a woman what it is, a woman, sometimes a woman respects that and stay on it, but a lot of women catch feelings as well, you know, and they renege on that contract, that agreement, verbal agreement that you have in the beginning too, because you'll let them know, look, I'm not looking for nothing, but they'll come around and do the same thing. And that's when it becomes a problem.
Don't we contradict ourselves? Like I got a friend, right? He's very honest. He tell me what it is, but he do shit like fucking stay over a house for 3 days in a row. And I'm like, nigga.
Oh, yeah.
You cannot say one thing and do another thing with women because they emotional.
Mm-hmm. We all been lazy fucks, literally. We've all been lazy fucks.
What you mean by that?
Okay, when I was an undergrad, when I was pledging, there's this one chick that I knew I shouldn't have been fucking.
What's her name?
I can't do that. I got to see her in October.
Okay.
Homecoming. So, you know, I knew I should have been fucking with her. I knew I shouldn't have. Because I knew whenever I got my letters, she was never going to see me like that again.
Right.
So then, once I went over and got my shit a couple times, I did when I was me.
You had arrived.
Yeah. And our friendship, she still brings that shit up.
What are you saying? I don't understand. What does she bring up? I don't get it.
You know, if you'd have done the right thing, you know, we'd have been together. I said, that ain't what we said. Yeah, but then you was doing this and you stormed down like, yeah, really, because I was being lazy. At some point we'd be lazy. We'd be laying up in the pussy. No, we should be leaving. Just lazy.
That was a starter chick. Women renege different, though, man.
Musa, can you look back in your mind's eye to a moment where we said one thing, but we also actively doing pair bonding shit, like married shit, wife shit, with somebody that's never gonna be your significant other?
Oh heck yeah! Like when me and my child's mother first separated, like you still crave those womanly couple moments. You like, you might not have done serious with Shorty, but I still like going to the movies. I still like watching Netflix. I still like cuddling. I miss all the stuff. But you don't want to be with her, but you just want those moments. So I done did a lot of that, man. And just to piggyback on what you said, women, they don't come back to that conversation of are we serious. They just do sneaky stuff like start introducing you to people in their life that matter. Like they don't never bring the conversation back around. It's like, oh, we going to a cookout at my mama's house. Like they don't never have a conversation again. Next thing you know, you're going to the work party. Like girls sneaky like that. They don't, we just friends. By the way, we got a work Christmas party I want you to go to. Now you done met every damn body at the job.
Now you can't.
And that stems them leaving stuff at your home. You know what I'm saying? That starts right there when they start leaving the toothbrush and the earring and
my homeboy's a bachelor. My boy's a bachelor. He scoops all that shit up and put it in a fucking bag. And you left it. Hey, let me ask y'all this. Now, I think most of us are partaking in American women, but not Shropshire. He took it international.
International.
Hey.
He's an international player. Your wife is from London.
Yeah. Born and raised.
You're a country boy from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Boy. I don't know Trump, how that works.
What do you even say to the London girl?
Boy, I didn't know she was from London when I went up to her. I thought she was a regular. It's a black chick. And she, yeah. That accent messed me up. I was like, hey, how you doing? She goes, hello, my name is Esther. I said, good God.
Get
that accent, bro. She different.
Is she different? What are some of the cultural differences? Because she's a black girl still, but she's a Londoner. So what are some of the differences that you've learned over the years?
She never questioned me about me going outside the marriage. She never questioned me when I was out. Like, I'm out too long. It was her friends, our American friends, that said, oh, you better get Shrop. He out on the road doing these shows. And it never crossed her mind like that I was. I was like, that was a thing.
She didn't have an American girl baggage. She didn't have no baggage.
Nah, bro. Mm. And then the first time that she even addressed me with it, we checked it right then. I was like, bro, you know this ain't you. So who came with you with it? Who said this? Because this ain't even you. You don't never trip about anything like that, you know what I'm saying? So,
but if you remember, that's what Eddie Murphy educated us on. You know, go get your foo-foo, then all the girlfriends they gonna come over. Exactly. So, yeah, that's that same path.
I want to talk to you about something.
Let's talk about you real quick. We're coming down to the end of the show. The whole conversation of 50-50 has come up recently. Dwayne Wade and his lady. Have decided. So Dwayne Wade says to Gabrielle Union one day, yo, this is my house. And it was his house, paid for it. And she was like, the next time we buy a house, I got money. I want to go 50-50. Me personally, if you're a woman in my life, your money is no good. That's just Rodney Perry. That's
the way I move way.
You know what I mean? So
should
we be operating differently? Should we be operating 50-50, Cole?
Well, so like this, right? Being married, we're a partnership. We both contribute to the house, okay? It's not that I got it and you can keep all your money. It's a partnership. But also, we have businesses together. So we run our house like we run our businesses. So in this particular case, it's not that her money is no good. Shit, your money gets utilized just like my damn money gets utilized. You know, so I don't really have that knack when it comes to that, because we're business partners as well as life partners. You know what I mean? So I'm a little biased with that.
Right. That's why I wanted to pose it to you. RC, man, you got your brand new wife, man. Did y'all have a conversation about like the money? Did y'all have a money conversation before y'all got into this thing?
No, man. First of all, you know, I'm being a content creator and a YouTuber and a comedian. It's a weird space because most people don't know how much money we make. You know, it's not like you're saying you're a doctor. You could be a millionaire. You could be broke as I don't know what doing this content creation stuff. But with her, and a question I have to ask for you men, like when I met my wife, she was living by herself. She stayed in the house. She was a single parent, had a kid, full-time student, full-time job. And she just graduated with her master's. So as a man, you like, yo, I want to come in to her life and help her as much as I can because she's already winning. And that's what attracts us as men. We see a woman that's already fully functioning on her own. You're like, yo, what can I bring to the table and we can combine this together? So having a woman like that, what I want to say to you guys is like, if she's already chasing her dreams of being a doctor, who am I to tell her to be a housewife? Like, I can't pull her off of that. And that's why I know we get a lot of those 50-50 questions on social media, but I'm like, who am I to tell you to quit all the stuff you doing? So my wife, she don't really, we live in a house now. We just moved into a house like 2 weeks ago, thank God. But we got an apartment because I wanted to be in a situation where I could afford to pay for everything. So but now in this house, you know, I'm owed the rent and more and all that's paid.
Everything,
you know,
is $1,000 when you got out. Everything is $1,000.
Bro, I just had to buy a lime on a weed whacker. This new shit to me. I'm like, fuck, I got more grass.
That weed whacker, motherfucker, $400.
Yeah, but she got my back, and it's nothing to her to buy groceries. But sometimes they got to realize, in order for us to get to a position where we can pay $100, sometimes I might need you to get that $20 for a few months while we making moves and making it shake. Right. I feel like women don't want men who building. You want me to have a mansion when I meet you? Like, you can't be a part of a program.
Right.
Hey, Biko, do you even have a conversation about money though? Like at the outset of a relationship, like, when do you talk money with a potential mate?
I think in my case, it's always been money been brought up when it was needed. You know, at that moment, at that time, it's like, yo, we got some final notices. What's going on? But coming in is like, yo. It is what it is. You kind of pick that up during the dating process. You see how the dating situation is. Like, yo, if the man been taking care of everything, flipping the bill all the time, like, your money's no good when we go out the whole night, it carries on later on in the relationship. And a woman get accustomed to that.
You start is how you finish.
You know? Yeah, but at the same time, this is the era of independent women. Women love to be independent on their own because they don't want a man telling them that, yo, this is my house. Because women do it too to men, like, yo, that's my car. Don't drive my car. When we, you know, when you get into an argument, you want to go off for a drive. No, you that's my car. You know, get out my house.
I will say this though, Tim, what y'all think about this? And Hopgood, you've been through this. We saw it pretty publicly. You've been on the show since, you know, early this year, and you got married, and the lady misrepresented herself on the finances and or how she was going to help you continue to build. And that was a deal breaker for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I we talked about it in the beginning. I said, well, how you sitting? I said, well, I'm sitting like this. And I said, you absolutely don't have to work, but you got to work the family business. Hmm. That's the deal. That was my deal. Now, you're not working the family business and not answering my emails and don't want to get this other money, but you still want to spend this money. We're not having it.
Now, was she already working? Was she already working?
No, sir.
So how can you expect her to do anything if she's not working from the jump?
Okay, so let me rewind that. She was working.
Oh, she'd have cut it.
Right, he didn't cut the off. Hey, man, fuck that. That was a call. Everybody on the panel. So
she didn't cut the joke internet off.
Yes, hey, I gotta go, y'all.
My internet, nigga. No, so
she didn't cancel the internet.
No, she was working, but then she had just stopped working and was collecting unemployment. Which she told me she was collecting retirement, but that turned out to be unemployment. So she misrepresented herself a few times. I let one go, but when you start costing me money and not working the other deal, you got to go because I'm dependent on by too many people. Too many people, I got to make sure their life is right. And if you take me down mentally, you're taking down a whole lot of other people.
How about that? All right, guys, last video. Great show today. Last video. Here we go.
You got kids. That 50-50 shit should automatically go out the window.
Bitch, what?
Because I automatically, off the rip, just sacrificed my body, my life, my health to give you kids. And off the rip of that, I should no longer work.
What the fuck?
In this household, you should pay all the bills because you would not have these kids if it wasn't for me.
Hey, daddy, that crazy bitch out there, dude.
DC said it perfectly.
Hey, man, I just had to play that one.
It shouldn't be expected, though. I mean, like, that. It shouldn't be expected. That should be something that a man should want to do, but a woman coming in expecting that, it's kind of a different situation, you know?
Now, I will say this. You make a great point, Biko. This is Rodney Perry, the male sexist pig. This is Rodney Perry. I don't believe a woman, and this is coming from a single parent home where my mother was the head of household. I don't think a woman should be the head of household because the thing you do without saying nothing to nobody, she can't do. She got to throw it in your face. She right. got to, while you're playing PlayStation, she got to ask you when you're going to get another job. She can't just leave the house and not call you to the carpet. And a man will never call his woman to the carpet for no reason because he is a provider. Am I tripping, Sharpshire?
Nah, you talking like the way it is, bro.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh.
That's it. And I didn't know 50-50 meant that she ain't doing nothing. Like, we talking about, I'm talking about, hold on now.
He's like, I need the breakdown.
I ain't broke like that.
I need the SOP.
I'm like what Cole was saying. Like, I feel like it's a partnership, like business. Like, I believe I am old school with, I'm like what Hop said, it, built different. I'm old school like my father. We take care of everything. That's the goal. That's the ultimate goal. But I don't think you should just take your money and do whatever you want to do with your money. Like, this money going to go to something now. We going to invest it, go in some business or something. We ain't let you live your own life.
Your wife should be giving that money.
I like my wife to drive me. I don't like be smooth.
Bruh.
I'm driving.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, guys. Incredible show today. Thank you to my guys for coming in. Hey, B. Cole, man, how do we stay in touch, bro?
Love, man. You know what? Just be in tune with me at B. Cole Comedian on all platforms, Facebook and Instagram. And Rodney, me and you doing Creative Hustle next month in Chicago.
Oh, instead of
the Tubi series.
Yeah, I saw the fly for that. Congratulations on that.
Creative Hustle season 2. Season 2. Hey, Cole Parker, man, how do we stay in touch, bro?
Everything real simple at Cole D. Parker, at Cole D. Parker. Check out the podcast, Practical Smoker Sue.
Hey, a great, great podcast. Up next, man, Tim Shropshire. He's at Tim Shrop Comedy. How do we stay in touch, Shrop?
Hey, then we on all platforms, Tim Shrop Comedy. Hopefully, I'll be in you all city real soon. God Family and Chicken Wings Tour. And we're going to keep it rocking. That's what we got.
Nigga, God Family and Chicken Wings is amazing. All right. He goes by RT Musa, but I call him Josh Hyman. RT Musa, how do we stay in touch?
Hey, man, RT Musa, everything, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Hey, yo, real quick, can I say this? Hey, yo, I reached out to Tim Shrop. I didn't know this man at all. I don't know this man at all. And I was like, I see he had a show. He was in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I was like, yo, bro, can I open for you? And he answered the call. He was very hospitable. I just want to say thank you and a shout out to you, bro, because in this industry, cold calling other comedians just randomly, we don't get a response. So just you a real one just for answering the phone, bro.
Wait,
so
but did you say hold on, Musa, didn't you just say Shrop was trying to get you to do some feminine stuff though?
Nah, that wasn't him though, but man,
I want to
you remember I let you open up for me.
Right. It was time for you to open up for me again.
That was a good callback, Rodney. That was a good callback.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. I get one laugh out of this group, I'm killing. All right. We stay in touch, bro.
Hollywood Hop,
right.
Score
06.
It's already on me, boy.
Hey, Hollywood Hop, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. Cole Parker is Omega Psi Phi. And the rest of our thing is our Me Phi Me's.
That still works.
Yeah, I'm right.
It does work.
Cole Parker, CC Poindexter.
What a great show, guys. If you got to end with another video, though. How about this?
Yes.
Was the hat a decoy? What was the hat?
Yo. Legendary.
Hey, like, we had one day of unity, and then like what upsets me because days after, I've been seeing a lot of videos fighting amongst our people again, man. That should have been a cap right there. Like, yo, from this point on, let's do this. You know, yes. But now we back to, you know.
We're going to stay us now.
Yeah. We're going to stay us. How about
that? It was a beautiful day, though.
What? We're horribly.
Yeah, man. I love it.
We're terribly consistent.
It's a holiday, man.
That's our show for today. Episode 200 was one for the books. Well done. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming on today. Man, you know, I like having women on the show, but this was fucking amazing, guys. For real.
It was a good time. Good time.
Incredible conversation. All right, y'all have a great rest of the day. All righty, Perry.
Thank you. That's our show. All right, brother.
Oh, get ready for America's number one.